Well, it's good to see you, and I'm just excited to be here. If you would stand to your feet, let's sing a couple songs together. That was not intentional. Jay, if you would, mute that for me. It's good to see you this morning. If you would, you can go ahead and be seated. I don't know if this is on.
Okay.
Okay,
let's turn it back off.
All right, there we go. It's good to see you this morning. Just always great to be able to come to this building here and just lift up praises to our Lord and Savior. He is faithful to answer our prayers and to give us what we need to sustain life. But anyway, if you've got your bulletin there, just take a look at that. If you have anything you'd like to communicate with the church here, we'd love to have that information. If you need to do that, just fill that out and drop it in the offering box at the end of the service. But this is the time of service that where we want to get together as a church family and just go over some of the needs of our body and lift those to our Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask Linda if she would come up, and she's going to lead us in prayer. But before she does that, there's a verse on the screen from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So everything that we go through in our life, we can give Him thanks for those things, because the trials and tribulations that we go through, it's just a way of God just, seeing if we're willing to endure those things, whatever, because that'll draw you closer to God. And so as we pray as a church family, if you would, just go through those prayer requests and follow along.
Okay, that's bad.
I'm kind of short. Good morning. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this morning to thank you for your blessings, for your love, and for all the prayers that you have answered for us. We thank you for James' grandmother and that you have given her a good checkup, that you're shrinking that cancer, and that you're staying close to her. and that she's feeling well. Please continue your work. Please continue the healing. Father, me more than anybody, thank you for the work that you're doing in my daughter Jada, that she's staying away from the bad influences, and that she's following you again. We thank you for the doors open for Zach and Nicole in their new jobs. Please help them in their journey. And it's for that, because you have answered all these prayers, we come to you and ask you for more, because you're the only one that can give to us. Father, we ask you to intervene and help my husband Pernell to get that transfer or that job that you have for him, so our family can be together and we can serve you. We humbly ask you for Brittany and Greg as they prepare to change their careers. Please, God, give them the direction that they need. We ask for Mandy's mother and whatever they need that is in there. Father, please take care. Please give strength to her family as they have to say goodbye to Stuart Sims. For all the other, because you are the only one that can provide healing, we ask you for an student with a heart condition, for the student that is in the final stages of muscular dystrophy, for the father in the Cagle family that has stage 4 cancer, for Tracy's friend's grandson with a deadly cancer and a brain tumor. Father, please provide healing and comfort as you might see needed. Father, you know that every need that we have, you know it. And we ask for an unspoken request. We ask for you to intervene in this to them with a possible adoption. Please help Katie and her mother in their relationship. Please help them go closer to you and to each other. Father, we thank you for Aunt Meredith's heart and her concern with her boss that doesn't believe in you, God. Please help her boss see you through her and that he can become a believer. We also ask for Anne's friend, Ashley, with her spiritual growth. Please help her to grow with you and help us grow every day closer to you. Please keep a close watch in our missionaries. Watch them, give them what they need. Our missionary of the month is Aaron and Jillian, and they are in North Africa working and spreading your word, God. We ask you all this in the name of your son, Jesus, the one that died for our sins. Amen.
Thank you.
you'll be worshiping around the throne forever. I look forward to that day. I hope you do too. Golden rainbows.
Golden rainbows of living color. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder.
You know what?
And we take this opportunity to have time of fellowship.
Turn to your seat. We've been in a series called Battle Ready, and actually today we're going to be talking a little bit about the vision of Connect Church and the mission that that we've been sent here to do, and just kind of walking through that passage. I believe that what we're going to do is that next week James is going to close out the book of Ephesians. We've been in it for a while. So it's been a great study, and I hope that you've enjoyed that. So he'll be back next week, as far as I know, unless something unforeseen takes place, which hopefully it won't. I think he's really looking forward to getting back to you guys. So he definitely misses being here, and of course we miss him as well. If you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 17. The mission of Connect Church and our vision statement is connecting people to Jesus, His message, and His mission. And basically, how we came up with that is that just in the prayer that Jesus prays in the garden in John chapter 17, and we're going to kind of see that, and that's kind of where the vision of Connect Church came from. So it's biblically based, and that's what we want to be about. But, you know, we can see that through the scriptures that when Jesus returned to heaven, he replaced his soul on here on the earth. He replaced it with the Word of God. And that, and I think it's on the screen, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, that we've been given the mind of Christ. And that's a unique privilege that we have. If we have the Word of God. We've been given the mind of Christ. And by having a Bible, we know what God's thinking, and He's given us what He wanted us to know about Himself. He also replaced His Spirit here on the earth. He replaced it with the Holy Spirit. I think we understand that. And He also replaced His body. He replaced it with the Church of God. You and I, as a born-again believer, you're part of the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And I hope that excites you today, because there's a lot of things that we need to do. There's a lot of things we need to accomplish. There's a world out there that need to hear the message of the gospel. So if you have your Bible there in John chapter 17, we'll look at verse number 4. It says, "I have finished the work which thou," and it's talking about the Father, "has given me to do." So what was the work of Jesus? Okay, well, the work of Jesus, it wasn't all just about the cross. It wasn't just the cross that he came and died, which obviously, you know, thankfully he did, because that's how you and I obtain salvation. But what it was about, it's about making disciples, about these 12 men that Jesus invested his time in. He invested time in those 12 men, and it was basically, if you look at it, life-on-life discipleship. That's what Jesus did with these 12 guys. And you know that right here when he's praying this thing is that Jesus says, "I have finished the work." Now, he hasn't died on the cross yet, and he's praying a prayer that says, "I've finished the work." And the work was investing his life into those men. That was the work that Jesus had been sent here, you know, to do, obviously, as far as that part is concerned. But the vision of Connect Church, and my advice to you is that being a part of the body here is memorize this statement. What is the vision? What is the mission statement? What is the vision statement of Connect Church? It's connecting people to Jesus, His message, and His mission. So we're going to kind of walk through that. And the first part of this is connecting people to Jesus. If you look down at verse number 6 in John 17, it says, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." And if you look down at verse number 8, it says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they know surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And so Jesus has manifested his name into these 12 men. And what manifest means, and I know we've walked through that before, but like a manifest on a plane, you know, kind of a list. And what that is it makes known the people on the plane. It reveals who's on the plane. That's what the manifest means. But Jesus' work wasn't just to let everyone know what to call God, okay? But to introduce to them who God really is, to help them know God in a personal relationship through that kind of discipleship process. Jesus was revealing who he really was. And who Jesus is that he's God. He's God in the flesh. He put on flesh. So, know who God is. Know who Jesus is. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse number 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was not just a man of God. He wasn't just a good teacher of God. He wasn't just a prophet of God. Jesus, he is God. And that's what John is saying there in verse number 1. And also verse number 14 is that he's letting us know that Jesus is God. And that's important to see. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Okay? And that's probably the number one verse when you start talking about the Godhead or the Trinity, is that that verse is very, very important to see that. That Jesus is, you know, there's three, and yet he is one. And he's not just the Son of God, but he's the only Son of God. He's the only begotten. And when you look at that, there's a lot of people that say that Jesus never, ever claimed to be God. And if you take notes, I encourage you to write these verses down. We're not really going to walk through them, but John chapter 10, verse 22 through 33 he just says that he's one with the Father, and he lets them know that. In John chapter 8, verse 53 through 59, he says that I am. You remember back in the Exodus when Moses asked God, "Well, who shall I say sent me?" I am sent you. You know, Jesus is saying here that I am. He is God. Mark chapter 14, verse 61 through 64. You can jot those down, look them up later, and I would encourage you to do that. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 calls Jesus the image of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it calls him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In John 14, he tells his disciples that the way they can know and see God and know the Father is by seeing him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's what he was telling his disciples, is that he is God. So the only way to reveal who God is you've got to let people know God. You've got to connect them to Jesus. That's how people learn, and that's how people grow to understand who God really is. John 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So the only way that a person can know God is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to connect them to that. And it's the first part of the work of the Lord. What he did is that he was trying to connect people to Jesus, connect people to who he is. And because we are the body of Christ, this is the first part of the work of Connect Church. This is our job. This is what we do, is to figure out how to connect people to Jesus. Okay, and I think we're going to see that. But we don't do this by religious works. It's not about just doing religious things. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what it's about. Jesus didn't just give the disciples a list of things that they could do. He helped them know God personally by spending time with people and sharing who he was. And God is just really focused on having that personal relationship. People in our community, there's a lot of people that know facts about God. You know, even before salvation, you know, before someone's saved, they can quote you facts about God. But they don't know Him personally. And there's a difference. There's a difference between personally knowing somebody and then knowing facts about another individual. And I hope we can agree with that. But it's not... What this is really about, it's about salvation. It's about knowing who God is. It's not just knowing about Him. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have good morals. You can have good works. You can be religious. You can do all of those things and still end up in hell. And that's kind of a scary thought. But it's just true. You can do all kinds of religious good works and you'll end up in hell. And hell is going to be full of people who were very, very religious. They were very religious. And they're still going to end up in hell. And the good news is that it's not just me saying this, okay? We're going to look at a verse here. Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are religious people. These are people who's done really, really good things. They're out in the community. And they're saying, Jesus. But He says, I never knew you. Because it's about that personal relationship with Him. That's what it's about. Just because you say Jesus is great is not good enough. You have to know Him personally. You have to enter into that personal relationship with Him through salvation. Understand who Jesus is. Back in our text, John 17, verse number 8, it just says, and they received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So you have to believe in Jesus, and you have to receive Jesus. That's part of connecting to Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And that's a great privilege. Because in the Old Testament, people, they didn't have that ability to become a son of God. But we, being spiritually alive, God's given us His Spirit, and by that, He's given us power to become the sons of God. So we can say that we're a son of God. Because prior to that point, the only son of God was Adam in the Genesis. He was a son of God. But everyone after that was born was a son of Adam. And of course, you know, the angels in the Old Testament, you can look at, that they're referred to as sons of God. But nobody else was a son of God until Jesus came and He gives us His Spirit. And that's why John can say there in John chapter 1 is that as many as received Him, received His message, received Jesus Christ and then become the Lord of their life, He gave those people power to become the sons of God. You have a unique privilege. And I think we should be excited about that privilege. So here's the thing. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, lived a sinless life, and rose again on the third day? Do you believe that? And do you think that that's sufficient enough to pay your sin debt? It is. His death, burial, and resurrection will pay for your sin debt. And if you haven't done that yet, or you've never understood that, I want you to understand that, is that it's just putting your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection. It's not anything magical. It's not any words that you say. Yeah, you can confess with your mouth, and you should do that. But it's the attitude of your heart. That's what constitutes biblical salvation. And if you haven't done that today, I would encourage you to receive Him. And that personal relationship that we're teaching you about, it starts at salvation. That's the beginning of this process. But it doesn't end with salvation. We want to connect people to Jesus every single week as best that we can. We do that in a couple different ways. We do that in our worship services. We come in, we sing songs, and And we, you know, lift up Jesus Christ, and we should do those. That's how we connect people to Jesus, through worship. We also do that through prayer. We have a great prayer time that we just go through the needs of the body. And I'm thankful that we do that. We also have the ability to have fellowship with the rest of the body of Christ through different things that we do. We have gatherings and we eat and things. We had the picnic a couple weeks ago. I think that was great. And we also need to be hearing and obeying the words of Jesus Christ. We connect to Jesus in a real tangible way. It's do this through the church. But Hebrews 10, it tells us not to forsake gathering together. Don't forsake that. All Scripture in our age was written to the churches and our leaders. So we take the Scriptures that are written to us and we grow from there. You know, we need to be learning how to connect people to Jesus. It's kind of like a husband and wife. And we like to use this because God said it that way and made it really easy to relate to, I guess, when it comes to the spiritual aspect. But if a person just says that they love Jesus, I love Jesus, but you hate the church, and there's a lot of people out there that say, you know what, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but you know what, that church thing, I'm not really into that church stuff. I'm dissatisfied with the church, you know, but I love Jesus. But I'm not, the church, not so much. I'm not so into that. It's almost the same, like saying this, like telling your spouse that I love you, but I really don't like your body. Now, I wouldn't get caught saying that personally, because you might end up into some trouble, but with your spouse. But that's what it's like saying. It's like, you know, I love you, honey, but your body, not so much. I don't care so much about that. And that's what it's the same thing that you're saying there. So saying that I can be a Christian without church is like a woman wanting to have a relationship with your mind. I only want to have a relationship with your mind, but I don't want to be connected to your body at all. It's just intellectual here. That's what this is saying. Jesus wants us to have fellowship with the body of Christ. So the saying, it could be this. Can you be a Christian and not go to church? Yes. Yes. You can be a Christian and not go to church. But can you be you can't be a good Christian and not be connected with the body. You have to be connected with the body of Christ. We have to be connected to the body of Christ. And we need to be connecting people to that body. And when we come into the worship service, connecting to Jesus Christ and understanding and learning who He is. So it's part of the connecting to Jesus in the body. There's a gentleman that's going to come here in just a second, and he's going to speak, and he's going to share a testimony with you guys about how that he's connected to the body of Christ, and then he's going to tell you a little bit more about some discipleship that he's went through and how God is showing him things and he's been growing spiritually, and that's going to lead us into the second point of connecting to his message. And I'm going to ask Jody if he would to come on up here.
Y'all kind of bear with me. I kind of feel like I got a head cold, so it might sound like I'm talking through my nose, but I wrote something down too. That's where I put that tea in there. No for later then. I just kind of wrote something down so I wouldn't lose my place and kind of stumble along, but I guess I'll start off by just saying, just letting you know where I used to be. I don't want to go too far into detail with it, but, you know, I've been on my own since I was like 15 years old. Quit school. So a lot of times, you know, life didn't pan out for me so well, you know, and I just, you know, went crazy, I guess you say. Just done what I wanted to do. You know, I had a priority list, and it was pretty short. It had one priority, me, and that didn't work out either. So I had to go through a lot of things that I guess you would say things that I probably shouldn't have been here right now. I shouldn't probably be standing here before anybody because of the situations and stuff, the places that I have went, and you know, it's a horrible thing. But luckily, after Mary with Ashley. I know she had started going through to Oakland Heights Baptist Church, and she tried and she tried and tried to get me to go. And I think I even went a few times, but I kind of went through a stage there where I wouldn't even walk inside of a church. I mean, I just didn't have no need for it, I thought. But over time, watching her make changes and I don't know, you could see a change in her, and I guess you could say that's what I wanted. And up until then, I didn't know where to find it, how to find it. So I guess this part where, you know, how I came to Christ was kind of watching her. When I did come and come to church with her, I, you know, met other people like y'all. Got to talking to some of y'all and hearing some of y'all's stories and some of the changes in y'all's life. And that's when I decided, you know, hey, this is what I want. So after digging around, I'm kind of I have to see it to believe it, or I was at the time. So, you know, I started reading myself, trying to figure out what was what did I need, what was God's purpose for me, you know. And I kind of feel like, you know, he had a big purpose for me, for the fact that, you know, I'm still here. I think it was last June when I accepted Christ into my life. Wasn't long after that I got baptized here. It was in the old sanctuary. I think a lot of y'all were here. Ever since that, I know it wasn't like when I was baptized and saved, right? You know, it was beam of light didn't come down, and it was just all of a sudden, life changed. But it was over a short period of time, I guess you could say, I knew that he had forgiven me when he allowed me to forgive myself. So, you know, Michael spoke with me about discipleship, and you know, my wife and I, we talked about that a little bit, and then she signed us up. Going through that program was a big eye-opener. I thought at the time I knew a little bit of something about the Bible, a little bit about God, but it wasn't until starting the discipleship that I really learned how to have that personal relationship with God. And I think you can ask Michael. A lot of times I have to have it drawn out on crayon a lot of times. But it's really, really helped me to grow. I try now at least once or twice a night while I'm at work to, if nothing else, just walk up and talk to somebody about God. I'm not the smartest thing by far. I can't remember a lot of scriptures and stuff like that, but Michael's give me some information about some books, and I've read them. And it's a lot of information about them inside the book about the Bible, about God. And what I have done is purchased some of those books. And now when somebody comes up to me and asks me questions and stuff, if I don't have the answer immediately, I say, hey, I'm going to bring you a book tomorrow. And needless to say, I've got several books loaned out. And, you know, it's making a difference. So I guess we want to go into where I want to be at. Well, here I am. I'm standing right here giving my testimony, hoping that, you know, if it only changes the life of one person, then so be it. I want to make sure that I make a big improvement for my family, because it ain't just about me, which it is about me, but, you know, I have a responsibility to them, and we've been working with the kids. You know, they've been steadily wanting to know about getting saved, and so I've been working with them on that, and I think we're getting to a point to where we're going to be able to make that happen. And I just want to keep going the way I'm going right now, because where I'm at right now, I'm happy with it. I'm happier now than what I've ever been, and I just want to get happier and happier and happier. So that's just a brief story of my life, I guess.
All right, it's always great to hear a personal testimony of an individual. And it just reminds me of kind of how I came through the process too. And Jody's story is very, very similar to mine. And it's kind of emotional for me because I see so much of myself in him. And it's just a testament to that personal discipleship about reproducing yourself into another individual. And when you actually see that happen in someone's life, there's no greater feeling than that. I would encourage each and every one of you, if you have not ever had that kind of personal discipleship relationship, just get plugged into that. Because it's really about, you know, connecting people to Jesus and then connecting them to his message, which is the Word of God, and going through that growth process. And I'm just glad that Jody is here with us. I think, you know, that God's going to use him in amazing ways. You know, he comes up here and plays bass, never played bass before, and he's just willing to do it. And that's just awesome. That's really all that you can say about it, is, you know, that he's just willing to serve. And it's just great. Anyway, so moving on. If you look down at verse number 14 of John chapter 17, it says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So this next part of connecting people to his word and to his message is connecting them to the Word of God. And we do that through that discipleship process. You know, they were... from different places and everything, but these men, they had been changed by God's word. They were with Jesus Christ, and the Word of God transformed their lives. And it's just interesting to read through the gospel accounts. What's funny too is, but you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've got four accounts of kind of the same story. So when God repeats himself, it's kind of like, pay attention to what's going on here, because, you know, there's four accounts of Jesus' coming, and then there's also going to, in Revelation, that's another topic for another day, but there's also four accounts of Jesus' second coming. Very interesting stuff. But anyway, God accepts us just as we are, and he loves us too much to leave us as babies. You know, look at what the change here, John 17, 17. "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." And this happens that you get separated from the world system by the word of God. Ephesians 5:26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word." It's the cleansing of the word of God. That's what has the power. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse this way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." It's according to the word of God. He intends for us to grow. He doesn't want to leave you a baby. And when you get when you receive God as Christ through salvation, you know, you're a spiritual infant. He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to grow. 1 Peter 2:2, "as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Ask yourself this: are you dissatisfied with your spiritual life? You don't have to answer out loud, obviously, but just ask yourself: are you dissatisfied with your spiritual life? And then the next question would be, is that, are you working to grow up spiritually? Are you actively engaging yourself in activities that will grow you up spiritually? And of course, you know, babies are not expected to grow by themselves. We don't just put them off to the side and say, you know, go ahead and grow up. You know, no, we've got to nurture them. We've got to take care of them. 1 Corinthians 4:15, "for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers." So you can instruct people all day long, but is someone that's in your life that you can say, you know, that I look to you as kind of a mentor? You know, you can have instructors. There's tons of those. But it's about that personal relationship. It's like Jesus having that personal relationship with his disciples. It's about, you know, like Barnabas that sat down and discipled Paul, the Apostle Paul. Paul submitted himself to that. Arguably the greatest Christian that ever lived. Barnabas walked him through that process of discipleship. Same thing with Paul. He took Timothy under his wing and showed him and put his heart in Timothy's heart for the sake of the gospel. So the second part of Jesus' work was to instill God's word in his disciples. And the second part of the work at Connect Church is to instill the word of God into the life of the believers, which is you guys here today. That's what we're here for, is that so we can continuously grow and multiply those relationships. You know, it's not about having hundreds of people show up for service on Sunday. It's not what it's about. It's about those personal relationships so that we can go out and do something for the cause of the kingdom. That's what this is about. So, do you, as an individual, do you need God to change your life? Do you need God to do that? Do you need to grow spiritually? Do you need that spiritual growth? We all need to grow spiritually. There's not a level that you get to where you've reached mastery. You know, it's always continuous because you can't exhaust the Word of God. It's an eternal book. You can't exhaust an eternal book. We always need to continue to grow. I encourage you, if you haven't signed up for discipleship, sign up, and we'll pair you up with someone that will teach you the Word of God, that will walk you through that process, and it will help you to be able to sit down at home and feed yourself, because it's about a personal love relationship with God. It's not about doing it for any other benefit other than you having that relationship with God. Before we get into the third part real quick, and then we'll be done, but I'm going to get Daniel. He's going to come up and share a few things with you guys. I think there's some great things that God's doing in this young man's life, and it's just excited to see, so let him share with you.
Testing. Can you guys hear me? All right. I'm really nervous to be here, so bear with me. I was going to talk a bunch out of John chapter 17, but Michael covered a lot of that stuff. And I had too much stuff for 5 minutes anyways. But God's really been convicting me lately about getting passionately involved in his mission, because I really truly feel like we're living in the last days and that we just don't have that much time left. And I love Jesus, and I want to serve him and glorify him in my life, but when I examine myself, I still feel like the majority of the decisions I make are about me, and the majority of my time is spent doing what I want to do. I mean, it's not necessarily bad things, but it's just like, if we're really running out of time, is that how you want to live? Do you want to live for temporary things that aren't going to last? Do you want to live for satisfying your flesh? And God's just really been convicting me about taking this seriously, and it's hard when we live in a world where we're constantly bombarded with lies. I got a quote here from the Declaration of Independence. It's from Thomas Jefferson. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That sounds really nice, doesn't it? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That sounds like it's all about us, and that we're supposed to do whatever we want. Just do whatever your heart desires and make yourself happy. But looking at John chapter 17, you can see that God's called us to something way bigger than just pursuing whatever makes us happy. So if you look at John chapter 17, verse 24, so much truth here in this verse. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." I'm just going to reread that. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me." That's talking about us. One day the church is going to be presented as the bride of Christ, this awesome love offering from the Father to the Son. So he says, "I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Why does he want us to be with him? Is it so he can make us happy forever? That's not what it says. It says that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This whole life thing is not about us, and it's not about making ourselves happy. And I'm saying this to myself as much as I am to everyone else, because I'm guilty of doing this. So God's just really been convicting me about getting involved in the Great Commission. If you want to flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where I'm going to be next. We're going to pick up in verse number 9. So, just to reiterate, our amount of time here is finite, and there is going to be a time when we're going to have to give an account for what we did with the time that God gave us and the gifts that God gave us. And I don't know if you guys feel like I do, but if I had to stand before Jesus tomorrow, I would not be ready at all. So, picking up in verse number 9, wherefore we labor, that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So there's coming a day where we're going to have to stand before Jesus and give an account of everything that we've done. And me personally, I feel like I haven't been living every day with that kind of mindset, that eternal mindset that I need to be getting ready to go see my Lord and Savior. So I got a simple thing that everybody can do to get involved in God's mission. If you want to flip to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at the parable of the sower. Picking up in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came up and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the first thing, when you think about this sower, he's just walking around throwing seeds everywhere. That's not normally how we plant stuff. Normally, we want to go straight to the good ground, and we want to post up there and farm it, because that's how we farm. But this sower, he's just walking around throwing seeds everywhere. And I think there's a lot to be said about that, because as human beings, we can't tell who's going to be good ground. We don't know people's hearts. We can't see into their hearts. So what do? How do you find the good ground? You don't really find the good ground. You just throw seeds everywhere, and you hope that they land in some good ground. And that's what God's been convicting me about, is I need to be throwing more seeds everywhere I go. I don't want to have to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment and look at him and say, you know, I wasn't throwing any seeds. I just didn't really want to get outside my comfort zone. I just wanted to do what made me happy. And that's not what God's called us to do. That's all I got for you guys.
Thank you, Daniel. And I think he really kind of summed up the whole message. You know, what our mission? What is the mission of God? What does God want for each and every one of us? And he wants us throwing those seeds out. Because that's what this thing's about. It's not about being comfortable and happy here, because it's not about being comfortable either. You know, it's coming up here and standing is not the most comfortable thing that a person can do. Right? You know, most of us say, well, it'd be very uncomfortable to have to come up and speak in front of people or whatever. But again, you know, I mean, God will give you the power and ability to do things that are uncomfortable. Even though you're nervous, you're never going to, at least for me, I never shake those nerves. But God allows you to do it. And you do it for what reason? So that someone else can know Jesus. So someone else can have that ability to stand before God one day and say, this is what I did. You know, I did this so that these people could worship here too. And it's. I think it's going to be an exciting day when we stand there. But I think that, you know, there's going to be a time of regret, you know, because by then there's nothing you can do. You know, you can love Jesus more in heaven than you can love him here,
You know, you'll know Jesus way better in heaven than you'll ever know here, but there's one thing that you can't do in heaven. You can't proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world in heaven. You can only do that right here. You can only do that right here. John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Talking about his disciples. And in 20 years' time after they ascended, these men reached the entire world with the message of the gospel. Now, the world's a lot bigger than it was back then. There's more people. We have a job to do. There's so many things that we could do. And we have power to do that. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, and both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the world. Jerusalem, right here around the Emerson area. Judea, you know, kind of, you know, looking at the areas around us in Samaria, you know, North America, South America, that area, the uttermost part of the world, you know, going across the sea. You know, he's telling us to be witnesses everywhere. We may not be able to go everywhere, but we can send our resources, and maybe God will send you, and hopefully some of you here will be trained up to be sent as missionaries. That'd be awesome. But he told his apostles to go into the world. So the final part of God's work in your life is for you to be sent out on his mission. And wherever God sends you, the purpose is the same regardless of where you go. It's engaging in those discipleship relationships. It's about making disciples. That's what it's about. You plant churches to make disciples who will plant churches who will make disciples who will plant churches that makes disciples. It's the same process. You sow the seed, maybe something lands. You can disciple 5 people, maybe one of them gets it. You can disciple 10 people. Maybe you have 1 out of 10 that actually gets the mission and will go out and do something. We accomplish a lot of these things through the events that we do, you know, here in the community. We accomplish that by witnessing to people. We accomplish that by going on visitation, just getting to know people. You know, I mean, it's hard to have a relationship with somebody that you don't know. You know, we want to get to know people. We want to be able to fellowship as a body. You know, that's good stuff. And we also do that through discipling other people. We have our outreaches that we do. We do discipleships. And we accomplish things globally by our missions giving that we do. Mission trips that we'll go on. We're going to have an opportunity to go on a mission trip later on this year. And I hope that, you know, pray that maybe God opens up a way for you to be able to be a part of that trip. We're going to go visit Bob Yeater in Guatemala. I believe the dates haven't been set yet, but it's probably going to be October, November. They're still working out the details on that. But let me leave you with a couple questions, and then we'll be done. Where are you in this process of discipleship, of the vision of Connect Church? Where are you in that process? Do you have a relationship with Jesus to start with? Search your heart and ask yourself those questions. Have you been saved? Are you starting to connect with the church? You know, are you connecting to God's Word through discipleship? Have you connected in a way that where you can recognize that God has changed your life? He's changed who you are. A lot of times, we have to change the way we think about things. And God has the ability to do that. Sign up for discipleship if you hadn't signed up for it. Would love to, you know, to be able to teach the Word of God and so that that He can be revealed to you in a way that maybe He's never been revealed to you before. The last question, are you fulfilling the mission? Are you fulfilling the mission? And you've got an opportunity to start working on that process. Tonight we're going to have a ministry meeting. Right here. And that's what we do, is how are we going to get all of this accomplished? You know, we work towards those things or whatever. You have that opportunity to today. You know, inviting people to come to church, witnessing to the people around you, understanding what God, how He wants you to give and the resources He's given you and the mission trips that we do. And I would just encourage you to allow that to be a part of your life. And I'm just thankful that we, you know, that Daniel shared and, of course, Jody shared. Just what's on their heart and just how God is is changing their viewpoints and changing how they think about things in the world and what's really important. And I'm just thankful to have these men that are willing to step out and take that. And I hope that that can be an encouragement to you guys. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. And we're just grateful to have the opportunity to connect people to Jesus, to share the message of Jesus Christ with people and let them know the Word of God and to get involved in the mission that you have. God, we are just so thankful for all of those things. Father, I pray that maybe if there's anyone here that does not know you as personal Savior, God, that they've never had that time of their life that they've received you. Father, I just pray that you speak to that individual, Father, and just allow them to understand that you lived a sinless life and you died on the cross for their sin and you rose again the third day. And I just pray that if that individual's here, Father, just to speak to them and just give them the courage to come and ask a question. And we'd love to sit down and have that opportunity to show them what your word says. And I just pray for that. God, if there's anyone here that wants to be more involved in the mission, Father, you know their hearts and you know the need. And I pray that you just speak to them and allow them to step out and trust you. Maybe they're a little hesitant about getting involved in a discipleship relationship. But God, I just pray that you just remove all doubts from their mind and just allow them to step out and want to get to know you. And we pray for that. Maybe to the person that's here that is thinking about the world and thinking about the vision and the mission. God, maybe they're considering stepping out and doing something one day when that time comes, Father. I just pray that you give them that courage that where they can grow and they can learn and they can start to see through your eyes just how you love the world. And we pray for those, God. And these things we ask in your name. Amen. All right. Well, one of the last things that we do is we talk about our offering and the different things. The missionary of the month that we have for the month of April is going to be the Bay Shores. So they're in Morocco, and it's a part of the world that's very heavily Muslim, and it's very difficult for them to publicly post things on the website about their ministry and about their mission and the things that they're dealing with. And so if you're posting stuff around or whatever, just kind of be aware of that if you post anything about that, then Aaron does check the websites and things and the web. They just have to be really cautious because it's not as open as we are here in this country for that. But this guy, he's going to a part of the world that some of us will probably never go to. And he's there for one reason, and that's to share the message of Jesus Christ, to train men who will train men. That's what he's there doing. We're going to be talking about it over the next couple of weeks or whatever, about the ministry that's going on there. But just be in prayer for these guys. It's just really great to see. They've got a vision, I believe, to start 7 different churches in 7 different areas around, and of course we'll be walking through that over the next couple of weeks, just letting you know a little bit more about their family and about their ministry and what God has called them to do. And it's really great. So be in prayer for those guys. Also, we give to missions. We support these guys, and we also support the ministry here through our tithes. The tithe is here used locally, and then of course our missions is a total separate thing that we use for the global missions, so that we can have a part in all the things that God's doing around the world. I think Daniel has the announcements. But the only thing, just the meeting. Okay, I'll just announce that. We've got our Easter extravaganza coming up. I would encourage you to be a part of that. Invite your neighbors, invite your friends. Just come out. We'll have games and we'll have an Easter egg hunt. It's just going to be a fun time for the kids. And also tonight, we're going to have a ministry meeting. So if you are leading a particular area especially the Easter egg, you need to be in the meeting tonight so we can discuss and get everything worked out on what's going on and how we're going to handle that. So if you're leading a group, you need to be here tonight, and we're going to have that meeting at 6 o'clock right here. All right. So I'll tell you, yes, sir.
I have a quick announcement. April 24th through the 26th, a men's group that I work with is going to Alabama to work on a youth camp and just need some manual labor done. I don't know exactly what projects they're going to be doing. But if any men in the church, would like to come and help, cost is free. You just got to pretty much get down there. It's not very far. Just come talk to me and let me know. And that's 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Okay, and we might have something maybe in the bulletin about that, maybe coming up next week to remind you about that. But the Easter egg hunt will be on the April 19th, and I have totally forgotten what time that is. And I'm afraid. Yes. I think it's 2 o'clock. Anyway, 2 to 3:30. There we go. All right. If that's it, you may know of anything else? Cool. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask Daniel if he would to dismiss us in prayer.